over a barrel, when Tarantula took to the hills. And I really got hot when I saw Jeanette Scott fight a triffid that spits poison and kills. Dana Andrews said prunes, gave him the runes, and passing the muse lots of skills. But when worlds collide, said George Powell to his bride, I'm gonna give you some terrible thrills. Like a
Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary with you until 9 o'clock tonight. On the Town with Mikey D will be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene later tonight. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number, which I'd advise you to call if I had a producer, but I don't. So it's me. You know, if it's an emergency, call in and we can talk about things. Somehow, I will figure out a way to let you communicate with me while I'm on the air. I don't know what that's going to be because I really hate social media so much. I really do. Necessary evil, I guess. And I don't want to break anybody's heart, but I'm not going to talk about the impeachment this week because it's kind of in a state of flux right now. The situation is the White House has refused to cooperate on the grounds that the House of Representatives is not proceeding appropriately with the impeachment, that there should be no investigations unless the House takes a full vote to hold impeachment hearings. That hasn't happened. And that hasn't happened because Nancy Pelosi is trying to have her cake and eat it too. So there is a constitutional crisis here in which both sides are right, because by failing to call for an official impeachment hearing, Republicans have been stripped of their subpoena power. And that's not how this is supposed to work. Now, the Constitution does not require the hearing or the full vote of the House, but that's the precedent. Every time that there has been an impeachment proceeding previously, there has been a full House vote to authorize impeachment proceedings. Hasn't happened. So the Constitution says nothing. Usually in that case, the precedent is the law. And the precedent is that the House holds a full vote. So the White House has said, you guys hold a full vote or you're getting nothing from me. And the House is saying, aha, another impeachable offense. And the president is saying, can't be an impeachable offense if you're not following the rules. You're not going to follow the rules. We're not going to play nice. That's where we are with this. Maybe we have some resolution next week. I doubt it. But we'll see. If we do, I'll talk about it. But for now, it's at a stalemate. And nothing is moving forward and nothing is going to move forward until this question of whether or not the House's actions are legal is answered. And it may turn out that they're not. And I think that's what the White House is betting on. That the courts are going to say, no, you have to have that vote. That's the precedent. So if you want to move forward and subpoena people, you have to give Republicans subpoena power. Democrats get subpoena power. You have a full vote to authorize impeachment hearings. We'll see where that goes. In place of that, I'm not quite sure how to set this one up, if I'm honest about it, except to say, if you were of a certain age, you remember a different time in American media, right? I went to college in the late 1980s, and I actually got my degree in television and film at Boston University, across the river from here. And one of the things about BU, if you were in the television and film program, you spent a lot of time learning about the industry and how the industry worked. BU was far more interested in creating media executives than it was writers or filmmakers or gaffers or prop people or any of that. You know, they wanted to teach us the business of the industry. So we spent a lot of time studying the business of the industry. Now, I'm not saying that BU didn't graduate filmmakers. It has, and it's graduated great filmmakers. But the television and film program, as it was, although it included a lot of hands-on, I think they kind of understood that the technology was changing so rapidly that anything that we learned was going to be out of date as soon as we walked out the door. Was generally speaking the case. So you learn the nuts and bolts of production, but what you really learned about was the business. And one of the things that we were studying in the business was the fragmentation of media. And what does that mean? Well, as I said, if you are of a certain age, you remember a time when there were 5-10 channels on TV. That's all you got. Until about 1975, 1977, depending on where you were in the country, most people got their television over the air. And they had the three national networks, ABC, CBS, NBC. You had a PBS affiliate, so that gave you four channels. And then there'd be a couple of little independent UHF channels. Here in Boston, of course, the legendary Channel 56 and TV 38. Which those of us who grew up around here remember very fondly. We probably watched more of that than we did network television when we were kids. Because they had the cartoons in the afternoon, and they had Gilligan's Island and the Brady Bunch, and they had DuckTales, and they had Alvin and the Chipmunks, and all that stuff was on the local UHF channels. And then on Saturdays, they had the Creature Double Features, and they had the movies on the weekends. And well, in the late 1970s, cable television started showing up around the country. And one of the things that cable television offered was more bandwidth for channels. And suddenly, instead of just having like 5 or 7 channels, now we had a lot more. Okay. Now we had CNN. Now we had ESPN. We had the movie channel. We had MTV. We had HBO. We had Nickelodeon. TBS, TNT, they go way back to the beginning. All right. TV 38 here in Boston was a national cable channel for a while because they had the Red Sox games. And eventually that morphed into what is now the New England Sports Network. So in the late 1980s, people were sitting around saying, what does this mean? This fragmentation of the media. What does this mean for America? Because it used to be, if you didn't get your news from ABC, you got it from CBS or NBC. You got your news from one of those three sources, if you watch television. If you read the newspaper, you got it from the Globe or the New York Times. USA Today was out by that point with bite-sized, snack-sized, fun-sized news for everybody. That's what they specialized in, fun-sized news. I used to work with a gentleman who was an editor at USA Today, and their rule was one-sentence paragraphs. That's how they wrote the news, one-sentence paragraphs. Keep it as dumb as possible. Keep it as simple as possible. No semicolons. No colons. One sentence. One sentence graphs. And he still insisted on editing that way. It drove me crazy. Because I'm more of a, you know, I'm more of a John Updike kind of guy. You know, let the sentences run free. But back in the late 80s, we're worried about fragmentation of the media. Because when there were three networks that were covering the news nationally, everybody was pretty much getting the same stuff, okay? All three networks did their best to make sure that no one of the networks was beating them on coverage. So whatever happened around the world, they'd all sort of, and around the nation, they'd all come to the same point, and they'd all be like, all right, these are our top three stories. And the top three stories tended to be very close. And then they'd break off into some features or entertainment or whatever else. That's how they differentiated themselves. But if something happened in Washington, or if something happened, you know, there was a shooting in Texas, or there was a forest fire in California, or there was war breaking out in the Middle East, all of the networks would come at it. And you would get substantially similar coverage with a similar set of facts from all three. In the late 1980s, that started to come under attack. And I was one of the people writing papers and talking to professors and all the rest of this saying, this is going to get worse. Once you start fragmenting, the only thing that you can do is get more and more and more niche. And at that point in time, we were just talking about television bandwidth. We're talking about things like MTV. Like, you're going to have people just sit there watching music videos all day long. But wait a minute. Then we're going to have a channel that's heavy metal music videos all day long. Then we're going to have a channel that's rap videos all day long. And it didn't quite fragment that much. But we did wind up with additional news networks, right? We've got three cable news networks, major cable news networks now. We've got leftist news, hard leftist news, and alt-right news. Those are your three major news networks. And then you've got the three nationals. The Disney News Channel, ABC, NBC, home of Matt Lauer, CBS. No one knows what they're doing over there anymore. And then you got the internet. Now, none of us saw that coming. And the internet was already a thing by the time I graduated college. But it was a thing that scientists use to send, like, funny science jokes to each other and to compare their notes. You know, it wasn't a thing that people turned to get their news. And sure enough, CNN gets on there, and MSNBC gets on there, and Fox gets on there, and then all these other people get on there, and they're like, hey, news, I can do news. Right? You don't need to be a journalist to do the news. You remember when CNN launched their user broadcasting initiative? What the heck was that called? iReport? We're gonna have everyday citizens cover the news for us. Yeah, because that's a good idea. I mean, we're there now anyway. It's just done through blogs instead of through CNN. But what's happened is that the audience has fragmented and fragmented and fragmented to the point where you can now live in a complete information bubble, cut off from the rest of your fellow Americans. You can live in an entirely alternative reality. And you can have your alternative reality worldviews reinforced by dozens of online sources, maybe even some mainstream news media outlets. Which brings me to this story, which is one of the more ridiculous pieces of fake news that I've come across recently. You can conduct a Google search right now if you want to. Universal Studios white power sign is the search that I'm going to tell you to conduct, if you're so inclined. And you will find the following headlines. Universal Resort costume character made white supremacy sign, ... Universal Studios actor made white power symbol in photo, says, ... Universal Orlando fires Gru actor for flashing white power symbol. That's from The Wrap. The New York Times, by the way. Universal Resort costume character made white supremacy sign. Orlando Weekly. Universal Orlando employee in Despicable Me costume fired after, ... The Orlando Sentinel. Universal Orlando employee fired for flashing white power sign in, ... The Huffington Post. Universal Orlando employee fired after making OK hate symbol. The Independent UK. Universal employee fired after making white supremacy hand gesture. News One. I don't know who they are. The New York Post. Despicable Me costumed actor fired for flashing white power symbol. BET.com. Black family infuriated over Universal Studios actor flashing white, ... Every one of these headlines is fake. Every one of these headlines that I just read, these are the first 10 headlines. These are major news outlets. Page one of the Google results. They're all fake. And you've probably heard this story. Here is the source that all of them ripped off, because none of them actually had this story. They just have their web editors who sit around all day looking at Twitter and rewriting stories published by other outlets to make sure you have them. So they all cribbed off of this story from USA Today. And here's what USA Today had to say. They actually kind of get this right. This is their headline. Family outraged after a Universal character made OK symbol on six-year-old's shoulder. Now, I've talked about how to spot fake news plenty on this program. If someone is trying to get an emotional reaction out of you, it's a pretty fair bet that they're feeding you fake news. Okay? Here's the USA Today headline. Family outraged. All right. We'll let that one go, because that's an accurate description in this case. Family outraged after a Universal character made OK symbol on six-year-old's shoulder. Okay, what is that? What does that mean? That is an objective headline. Because notice, it does not contain the words white power or white supremacist or any of this. Here's a new, and let me give you those headlines again. New York Times, Universal Resort costume character made white supremacy sign. People. Universal Studios actor made white power symbol in photo. The Wrap. Universal Orlando fires Gru actor for flashing white power symbol. At no point did USA Today say this. Family outraged after Universal character made OK symbol on a six-year-old shoulder. You see the problem here? USA Today, for once, is actually doing a good job. They're actually getting the story somewhat right. I'll give you a bit of the story, and then we'll get into the background. Tiffany Zinger said it would be painful telling her daughter she couldn't use a family vacation photo for her second grade class project. The image was marred by what appeared to be a symbol of hate. The photo shows a six-year-old girl who is biracial and has autism posing with an actor dressed as the movie character Gru from Despicable Me during a Universal Orlando breakfast event attended by the Zinger family in March. Remember that, March. The character formed an upside-down OK symbol with his fingers, recognized by some as a hate symbol, on the girl's shoulder, according to a photo and video reviewed by USA Today. I have, in fact, watched the video, and there is no question that whatever this actor is doing, I don't know if it's a man. I don't know if it's a woman. We don't know anything about this individual other than they lost their job. Clearly doing something. Right? Clearly making a circle with the thumb and the forefinger and placing it on the girl's shoulder. Now, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know if they're playing the circle game. You may remember that from Malcolm in the Middle. There was a whole episode dedicated to it. Where if you make an OK symbol below, you make a circle with your thumb and forefinger below your waist to encourage people to punch you. That's what they were doing because they were bored kids, right? Either that or Malcolm in the Middle was secretly white supremacist indoctrination. Maybe that was Nazi propaganda, Malcolm in the Middle, right? It could be. Nazi propaganda. That episode needs to be banned because people are making the OK symbol in it. Universal Orlando Resort spokesman said Tuesday in response to USA Today inquiries about the episode that the actor had been fired. The spokesman, Tom Schroeder, initially declined to further comment but then issued a statement. Quote, "We never want our guests to experience what this family did. All right. This is not acceptable and we are sorry and we are taking steps to make sure nothing like this happens again. We can't discuss specifics about this incident, but we can confirm that the actor no longer works here. We remain in contact with the family and will work with them privately to make this right." The Zingers are getting some free stuff. They're probably getting a free trip to Universal Orlando. Tiffany Zinger, who is black, and her husband Richard Zinger, who is white, traveled with their daughter, who is now 7, and her younger brother from Colorado to Orlando, where they own a home. The Zingers were at Universal Orlando for the day to attend the character breakfast at the Loews Royal Pacific Resort, a Universal hotel, at 11 a.m. on March 23rd. The hotel hosts this event every Saturday. Quote, "We just wanted to take them to see the Minions," Tiffany Zinger said, "do something special for our family, and this person ruined that special warm feeling." The Zingers say they did not initially notice what happened with the actor, but while going through vacation photos in mid-August, they noticed the controversial symbol. Well, the photo is up. You can see the photo. And you can clearly see that whatever this guy is doing, he's doing something with his hand that you would normally, okay, if because the girl's about shoulder height to his hand. Normally, you just rest your hand on her shoulder. And he is actually making a circle with his thumb and forefinger. And it is pointing downward. That is the circle game from Malcolm in the Middle, right? Oh, no. No, not in the world of Tiffany Zinger, okay? USA Today is not naming the Zingers' children to protect their privacy. Come on. And has blurred their faces in content published with this story. You look at the photo, and clearly, when you watch the video, you can see he deliberately does this, okay? So let me set aside any sympathy for the actor. The actor's doing something goofy. I don't know what you're doing here, guy. I don't know why you're doing it, but Universal Orlando has every reason in the world to fire you, okay? You're screwing around. You're not doing your job right. You're doing something. I don't know what you're doing. You're doing something. And because you have brought bad press to Universal Orlando's doorstep, they've said, goodbye. You're gone. I'm with Universal Orlando on this, okay? You're hired to do a job. You're not hired to be cute. You're not hired to do funny little insider joke things, all right? They catch you doing stuff like that. You're gone. Universal Orlando is fine with this. It's the Zingers who are the issue here. It's more than the OK sign, Richard Zinger said. A lot of people don't understand what that sign means. No, they don't, Richard Zinger, because they don't live in your weird little bubble world where everything is Nazis and everything is hate. They don't live in your weird little bubble world. The incident happened a week after the New Zealand shooter who killed 51 people in 2 Christchurch mosques in March flashed the OK symbol during his court appearance. Here we go. The Anti-Defamation League added the hand gesture to their online database Hate on Display last week, which is a long-standing list that provides explanation for symbols, memes, and slogans that are frequently used by white supremacists and other hate groups. However, USA Today is going to bring this back. The hand symbol has had many meanings before it evolved into an expression of hate. Heidi Barrick, director of the Intelligence Project at Southern Poverty Law Center, said the symbol began showing up about 4 years ago as an online trolling tactic used by white supremacists. Beerich says they like to photobomb images with hate symbols and then share them online as an inside joke or prank. Now, where does this come from? I got to give you a little background here. There are a couple of online image boards known as 4chan and 8chan. They are among many. And they are best described as the bathroom wall of the internet. The men's room wall of the internet. Where people go and post the most offensive and horrendous jokes and images and things that they can think of. Any kind of tragedy that happens anywhere is immediately met with the worst kind of horrible joke telling imaginable. The kind of stuff, the kind of jokes that, you know, dark gallows humor jokes that you used to tell when you were 9 or 10 years old. These people never outgrew this. And from what I've been able to tell over the years, there's a healthy number of teenagers, like edgelord teenagers that hang out on these boards. Of course, the mainstream media will tell you they're hate channels, you know. Well, you know what? By their definition, then I guess CNN is a hate channel because white supremacists use that. Twitter is certainly a hate channel because white supremacists are on there trying to recruit. Facebook's a hate channel. You got white supremacists on there, white nationalists on there. YouTube's a hate channel. They're all hate channels. The difference is the sensitive journalists. Journalists have no business being sensitive in the first place, by the way. I say this as a former journalist. The sensitive journalists go on 4chan. They're like, oh my God, look at what they're saying. It's horrible. Look at these awful people. What misogyny, white supremacy, sexism. They hate the gays. Oh my God, take it offline. And of course they can't because we have free speech in this country, right? So they're peddling this idea that 4chan and 8chan are these white supremacist boards. And the trolls, this is what they are. They're a bunch of online trolls. They're pranksters, okay? They're just trying to push buttons and get attention. They hear this being said, and they take advantage of it. So a few people get together, and they're like, hey, let's create a meme that says the OK sign is a white power symbol, right? Because the three fingers that are up, those are the W, and then the circle that you make with your index finger and your thumb, that's the P. So if someone flashes a white power symbol, or if somebody flashes the OK sign, that's a white power symbol. It's a joke. It's a prank. They're actually pranking the media. And wouldn't you know it, the media falls for it. The media actually starts saying, oh my, that's a white supremacist symbol because I saw it. Someone told me about it on Twitter. Some anonymous person I've never heard of pointed this out to me on Twitter. And now I see Nazis everywhere. I can only imagine what happens if the zingers go to the beach and they see scuba divers, because that's a symbol that scuba divers use all the time. They probably run over to the lifeguard and say, there's Nazi frogmen on the beach. The beach is being overrun with Nazi frogmen. Nazis, they're flashing Nazi symbols. No, they're scuba divers, scuba diving. Not everyone lives in your weird little bubble world, Mr. and Mrs. Zinger. Tiffany Zinger, who recognized the symbol as hateful, said she was horrified that her daughter had had her first exposure to racism at a family-friendly park. I've been emotionally distraught about it. I'm still pretty upset that someone felt they needed to do this to children. It can cause emotional stress on my child and her development. Your kid has no clue what's going on, Tiffany Zinger. All she knows is that you're freaked out about something. Okay? And what you're freaked out about isn't even a real thing. Now, again, I don't know what this guy's doing. Even if he's doing it, who cares? Who cares? Right? You write a letter to Universal and you say, hey, can you do something about this clown? Look at what this clown did. Right? This clown flashed a symbol that might be a white power sign in a photo with my biracial daughter. I'm not happy about that. What are you going to do about it? You don't go running to USA Today. Oh, my God. And USA Today, actually, in their reporting here, is trying to point out that this is a horse shirt. This is an extra, extra, extra large horse shirt. But it brings up this problem of these little bubble worlds that people are living in. And the reason that this becomes this white power symbol, and March, remember, March is important here, is because Brandon Tarrant, the Christchurch, New Zealand shooter, flashed an upside down OK symbol while he was standing in the dock for his arraignment. Everybody lost their minds. That proves that it's a white power symbol. No, it doesn't prove anything. Because Brandon Tarrant is not a white supremacist. I know that's going to come as a shock to all the people who've read it on the internet. Okay? If you don't like what I'm saying, you don't like facts. If you don't like what I'm saying, if you don't like what you're hearing coming out of me, you don't like the truth. All right? I have read Brandon Tarrant's manifesto. I have explained who Brandon Tarrant is on this program. Brandon Tarrant is a white nationalist. There is a difference between a white supremacist and a white nationalist. You have to be racist to be a white supremacist. White supremacists believe that all other races are inferior and should be eradicated from the planet. White nationalists want people who aren't white to go back to their own countries. They don't necessarily hate them, they just don't want them here. Now, is Brandon Tarrant a racist and a white supremacist? I don't know what you can believe about this guy. The one thing I can tell you specifically about Brandon Tarrant is that Brandon Tarrant is an acolyte of Anders Breivik, who carried out the Norway massacre. And Anders Breivik is an acolyte of Ted Kaczynski, the Unabomber. And these three gentlemen all have a few things in common. All three of them are perfectly sane. All three of them have above average intelligence. And all three of them committed their crimes to bring about political change. This isn't somebody saying, I hate Jews, which by the way, no one should ever be saying. This is what happened in Germany. And we still don't know what happened in Germany, but that looks like straight up racist, anti-Semitic violence. Okay? These aren't people saying, I hate Jews. Or in the case of Anders Breivik, he hates white people, so he went and killed 60. No, Anders Breivik sought to bring about political change in Norway by killing a specific group of young people who were teenagers who were going to be the next generation of leaders in the leftist political party in Norway. That's why he did what he did. Okay? Ted Kaczynski did what he did to try and shut down the modern world. Brandon Tarrant did what he did to save the environment. He calls himself an eco-fascist, and that may be the one true thing that he says in his manifesto. So that happened in March. Remember when the visit happened? Do you remember when the Zinger family went to see the Minions? It was in March, right? So they're connecting this in their minds. They're looking at the photos and they're like, oh my God, upside down okay symbol. Seriously. The best thing that could happen here is for the Zingers to have their internet taken away from them. You need to get off the internet. Both Richard and Tiffany. Get off. Turn it off. You don't know how to use it. You don't know how to process things critically. You read and you accept. And that is how you do it wrong. That's how you wind up thinking that anyone making a circle with their thumb and their forefinger is flashing a white power sign. Now, this story happens to come on the heels of, as USA Today points out, the Anti-Defamation League adding the OK symbol to their list of white power signs. By the way, a couple of other things that they've added. Thor's hammer is a white power sign. You know, Thor, Marvel, maybe you've seen Avengers. Maybe you've seen the Thor movies. Thor's movie, white power sign. So if you've seen the Thor movie, and in their case, they specify this, there is a particular group of skinheads who are actual anti-Semites. Who use Thor's symbol. They're not saying every instance of Thor's symbol is white supremacy. But then we get to this one, Pitbull. And I'm reading directly from the ADL's hate symbols database. Hate on display trademark. hate symbols database. You know you're serious when you're trademarking the name of your thing. And by the way, I don't want to drag the Anti-Defamation League here, okay? Particularly not on Yom Kippur, because that's not fair. By and large, I am a big fan of the Anti-Defamation League. They do good and important work. Anti-Semitism is wrong, and it needs to be called out wherever and whenever it's found. But you have to be careful in the way that you present these things, okay? Here's what they say about Pitbull. The Pitbull has long been used as a skinhead symbol, presumably because of its reputation as a fighting dog. Many racist skinheads and other white supremacists own or even raise pit bulls. White supremacists use one specific pit bull graphic so often that it has become a white supremacist symbol itself. One racist skinhead group, the Keystone State Skinheads, at one time known as Keystone United, even adopted it as part of their logo. That's it. And this is my favorite line. That's all I have to say. It's my favorite line. Many racist skinheads and other white supremacists own or even raise pit bulls. So I guess the zingers read this, right? And they see someone walking down the street with a pit bull. And they say, Nazis! There are Nazis walking down the street. They have a pit bull. Nazis! First frogmen Nazis on the beach. Now Nazis. There's Nazis everywhere. Remember, I gave you the headlines. I gave you the headlines of the New York. The white power symbol. White supremacy symbol. Employee fired for white power symbol. Here's what the Anti-Defamation League actually has to say about the OK hand gesture. And they open this up. They've got the meme from 4chan. And right at the very top, note, for reasons explained below, particular caution must be used when evaluating this symbol. You mean there's context? Oh, boy. The zingers don't have time for context. The zingers can't process context. They can only process the headline that says white power symbol. And by the way, the zingers are emblematic of millions of people in this country. Millions of people. The OK hand gesture, in which the thumb and index finger touch while the other fingers of the hand are held outstretched, is an obvious and ancient gesture that arisen in many cultures over the years with different meanings. Use of the OK symbol in most contexts is entirely innocuous and harmless. This is what the Anti-Defamation League said. They go into the history of it here. They talk about how it's used in yoga, how it's used as an abbreviation for OK. And then they go into the history that I just gave you, where 4chan created this fake meme, this fake news. Hey, it's a white power symbol. And the fake news media jumped all over it. And now the zingers are looking at a family photo and they think the guy playing Gru is a Nazi. They think he's a white supremacist. Maybe they're right. Maybe they're right. I'm going to give you some shocking numbers right now, because everybody's talking about, oh, there's Nazis everywhere. There's white power, white supremacy is on the rise. This is from Into the Abyss, A Personal Journey into the World of Street Gangs by Mike Carley, PhD. This is from 2002, but it's been updated since then. This is published by Missouri State, EDU. And this is from the Florida Gang Investigators Association. Okay, so this is a police department. Did this research, put this paper out, published by Missouri State on a university website. This is actual research. Are you ready for some shocking numbers? Because we keep hearing about how white power, white supremacy, all of this is on the rise. Here's what they say, second paragraph. Only about 25,000 Americans are hardcore ideological activists for the white supremacist movement. 25,000 Americans. They're organized into approximately 300 different organizations. Some 150,000 to 200,000 people subscribe to racist publications, attend their marches and rallies, and donate money. Approximately 100 hate lines are in operation, with recorded messages that propagandize the caller with hate-motivated speeches and publicize upcoming meetings and rallies. Because of their increasingly sophisticated use of the media and electronic technology, there are 150 independent racist radio and television shows that air weekly and reach hundreds of thousands of sympathizers. 200,000 people subscribe. 25,000 Americans are hardcore ideological activists for the white supremacist movement. There are 330 million people in the United States. This isn't even 1% of the population. Not even 1%. But you listen to the media and you think there's Nazis in the bushes and there's white supremacists in the bushes. There aren't. There simply aren't that many. You are more likely to know a pedophile than you are to know an actual white supremacist. You are more likely to know someone who is engaged in incestuous sexual behavior than you are to know an actual white supremacist. Even PolitiFact, they're trying to debunk Tucker Carlson. And I'm no fan of Tucker Carlson. He's a blowhard. I'm probably a blowhard too, but Tucker Carlson, I got no use for the guy. But he's brought this point up and he said, look, what are we talking about? There's no big army of white supremacists in the United States. He specifically said the number of actual white supremacists in the United States would fit in a college football stadium. And he's pretty much right. Everybody talks about Charlotte. There were only a couple thousand people in Charlotte. And they came from all over the country. This is from PolitiFact, trying to debunk this, by the way. An unclassified May 2017 intelligence bulletin, jointly authored by the FBI and Department of Homeland Security, found that white supremacist extremists killed more people than any other domestic extremist movement from 2000 to 2016. Oh my God, right? That's the headline that the fake news media is going to run with. White supremacists killed more people than any other domestic extremist movement. Well, how many domestic extremist movements do we have? And we've got the actual number here. As a share of all killings committed by right-wing, this is from the Anti-Defamation League, by the way. As a share of all killings committed by right-wing extremists in the United States over the last decade, 10 years, 76% were committed by white supremacists. Last year, 39 of 50 domestic extremist killings were committed by white supremacists. 39 of 50. So there were 50 domestic extremist killings in the United States last year. And I believe last year is 2018 in this case. What was it? Yeah, 2018. 50 people. Now, one person killed by an extremist is too much. But 39 of 50 killings carried out by white supremacists. If you listen to the media, you would think that the white supremacists are lurking in your bushes. They're ready to come get you. They're going to destroy our country. It's nonsense. And it gets us to this Tiffany Zinger, who is doing her children no favors. Because she reads stuff on the internet. She's, oh my God, Nazis everywhere. And what's she going to do? She's going to raise kids that are afraid. They should take the internet away from her and her husband. Give them some basic critical reading courses. Give them some basic, comprehension courses. Learn how to read for content and context. Not just read a headline and assume that everyone's a Nazi. Because the reality is, very few people in this country are Nazis. How few? So few that you've probably never met one in your life. Think about that. Now, before I break off, there was one story this week that I really, really wanted to share. You may have heard the story of Amber Geiger. She is the Dallas police officer who walked into the wrong apartment, thinking it was hers, after a shift, saw a man moving, and shot and killed him because she thought someone had broken into her apartment. Once she realized what she had done, she basically became inconsolable and has been inconsolable throughout her trial. This story has gained a lot of national attraction because Amber Geiger is young and pretty. She is blonde-haired and blue-eyed. She is the girl next door. So this is the girl next door walking into the wrong apartment and killing a black man. Symbolically, this hits a lot of the right buttons to be a viral news story. Something happened during her sentencing that the writers of the narratives did not expect. And it reinforces a very basic principle. The single most important thing that any of us can hope to have is dignity. And the single greatest gift that one of us could give to another person is dignity. During the sentencing for the killing of Botham Jean, his brother asked the judge, his name is Brant Jean, the brother, asked the judge, he's 18 years old, asked the judge if he could hug Amber Geiger. I'm going to read to you what he said. This is from the transcript in the courtroom. This is Brant Jean. I don't want to say twice or for the 100th time what you've or how much you've taken from us. I think you know that. But I just, and then he stops, collects himself. If you are truly sorry, I know I can speak for myself. I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask him, he will forgive you. I love you just like anyone else. I'm not going to say I hope you rot and die, just like my brother did. I personally want the best for you. The Brants were raised in the Church of Christ in St. Lucia by a religious mother. And he goes on to say, I think giving your life to Christ would be the best thing that Botham would want you to do. Again, I love you as a person, and I don't wish anything bad on you. That is a young man who possesses a depth of dignity that we should all aspire to. And that is a young man who saw the distress and the pain and the shame and the guilt that Amber Geiger felt for the mistake that she made. She's going to spend 10 years in prison, by the way. But he saw her pain. He saw her anguish. And he gave her dignity. It is a beautiful moment. There is video of it available. And I highly encourage everyone to watch it. Because we spend so much time tearing each other down and tearing each other apart that I think we forget what it means to treat someone with dignity and to give someone in their darkest moment when they have lost all hope the belief that dignity may rise again. It is WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. All in Town, Mikey D is coming your way in about 12 minutes. Before that, the strangest thing from the past week and my favorite thing from the past week right here on WMFO Medford.
up from his nap said, teach me how to monster rap. You gotta shock the body, shock the body, body, shock the body, shock the body, body, shock the body, shock the body, body, shock. Igor, you fool.
Yes, Nadia.
He's breaking loose. We've reached a goal undreamed of by science. Listen, he's going to rap again.
I got bolts in my neck, a flat top head. I'm 8 feet tall and I'm back from the dead. You see, I can break rappers down to tears. Cause I've been monster rapping for 100 years. They all light up the torches, chase me through the town. They do everything, trying to track me down. But they can't keep up, they can't compete. Cause I got to rap with a monster beat. You see, north, east, west, and south, I'm the cat they call Monster Mouth. When I party rap, I control the room. I can get the werewolves howling at the moon. You see, I'm big and bad, scarred and mean. I'm the cool brain child of Dr. Frankenstein. I said a rap, rap, another zap. Can't stop the rapping now.
He won't stop rapping. Strap him down, Igor. He must be heavily sedated.
Yes, master.
Oh, shut up.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story. One night, I was at a bar.
I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
The cabbie barely had time to react.
I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we're living our dream.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary with you for another six or so minutes. Before On the Talent, Mikey D is here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. 855-915-9636 remains the telephone number. This week, what's hot? My favorite thing from the past week. If you are new to the area and you are looking for a nice place to eat, you're looking for sushi in particular. I've eaten sushi all over the city of Boston and, the country and stuff like that. There is a treasure, an absolute treasure, sitting right off the Tufts campus. Yoshi's Japanese and Korean Restaurant, which is right outside of Powderhouse Square. Why don't you put your silly address on your homepage? They are at 132 College Avenue here in Somerville, Massachusetts. Hop on in there, get some sushi. The sushi is awesome. Really, really good, fresh, delicious sushi. And for dessert, they toss you some frozen mochi. And if you know what frozen mochi is, you know that it's the best. You know I am recommending it. Yoshi Sushi, 132 College Avenue. I just went there last night for the first time, and I was blown away. I would go back, 10 of 10, would eat all of their delicious sushi again. And we close, as always, with That's a Thing That Happened, the strangest story from the past week. Louisiana. I don't get over there very often. The cops are going to find it, so don't try to hide it. Ashley Beth Rowland, 24, and apparently not old enough to know better, stole more than $6,000 from her boyfriend by hiding the money in her vagina. Her boyfriend called police, and Rowland confessed to stealing the money, authorizing police to extract it from its hiding place. Police found the cash and a bag of methamphetamine. Roland initially denied that the drugs were hers, but offered no explanation for how they got in her vagina, tucked behind $6,000 in cash. She has since confessed to stealing the drugs as part of a plea deal. Good news for every woman afraid of falling asleep and waking up with a vagina full of narcotics. Just doesn't happen. You don't just wake up and you're like, how did all of these narcotics get into my vagina? Folks, the police have heard it before. They're not going to give you that option. Anyway, just to wrap up very, very quickly, because I realized I got to the end of the whole thing about the white power, quote unquote, white power symbol and Tiffany Singer and the strange bubble world that she lives in that is full of Nazis. The problem that we have here is very simple. We don't have a single common source of news and information anymore. And this presents a challenge to us because, as I like to point out, we are a republic. And as a republic, we need information to function. We need real, trustworthy information so that we can make good decisions. And right now, that is in very short supply. Now, I am here every Wednesday night to try and sort out the fact from the fake where the news is concerned. But for a lot of people, they just don't know. They don't know where to go. They read the headline and they assume that it's true. And this guy in Orlando, clearly he's screwing around. He's doing something stupid. Okay. Deserve to get fired. All right. Don't be stupid on the job. You'll get fired. But Tiffany Singer and her husband Richard are also wrong. Because they believe that this person is a white supremacist. And as I pointed out, there's only about 25,000 of them in the country. Maybe we're up to 50 now. I don't know how recently that research was updated. But trust me when I say, you are more likely to know somebody who has slept with a family member than you are to know an actual white supremacist, because they're rare. And we can't be running around letting the media whip us into this hysteria of seeing white power symbols everywhere. And this is where you need a common source that people can come to and say, all right, this is real, this is not, okay? Tiffany Singer and Richard Singer are actually tragic characters in this story. Because what they need is someone in a position of authority to tell you, hang on a second, what you read is wrong. That was a joke. Go read the Anti-Defamation League's site and see what they say. That's not real. That's not a thing. Those scuba divers are not Nazis, okay? They're signaling to each other because they can't talk. Now, are there bad people using the symbol? Sure. Are there bad people breathing? Yes. Are we going to say that breathing is a white power symbol? Are you going to walk up to somebody with a pit bull and call them a Nazi? No, you're not. No, you're not. Because you live in a world of context and nuance. And we've lost that. And we've lost that because there are too many channels speaking to too many tiny little niche audiences. And keep in mind, you want to make $1 million, easiest thing in the world. All you got to do is convince 1 million people to hand you a dollar. And the internet has never made it simpler for people to do that. You have to be super conscious about what you're reading, but you also have to be super conscious about what people around you are saying. You have a role in our republic. You have a role in keeping our country in one piece and keeping our country together. And your responsibility is simple. When you hear fake news, say something. Point it out to people. Tell them, look, I don't know where you heard that, but that's not what that is. That's wrong. Here's some information. Here are some facts. Let me correct you. Look out for each other, because at the end of the day, we are all frightened fellow travelers on the road to the grave. We'll see you next week. Until then, stay safe, everybody.